This morning, I'm going to tell you the story about one man in the Old Testament named Joshua, who came to a pivotal point in his life where he could either be strong and courageous or afraid and discouraged. And the decision he made at that pivotal moment would change the trajectory of his life and the life of a nation. Joshua's story is relevant to all of us because each of us come to pivotal moments in life where we can be strong and courageous or afraid and discouraged. And the decision made at that pivotal moment can change the trajectory and the quality of your life and those around you. The story of Joshua is told in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And as we study this section of scripture, we're going to discover how God strengthened and encouraged Joshua. And his application, how can God strengthen and encourage us in those pivotal moments in life? So let's start with the historical background, verses 1 and 2. It begins, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. And this is Joshua's pivotal moment. God told him to lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land. They had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now was the time to move forward. And as you look at that text, it's historical, but it's also very emotional. Just put yourself in Joshua's sandals for a moment. It opens, God speaks to you. And then Moses is dead, so he's experiencing, I would think, extreme grief over his mentor and his friend that he'd known for so long. So there was probably some sorrow going on, but also anxious because God is saying, now you are in charge. And he who is no longer the second in command is the chief in command, chief of command. And so he feels that as well. Some sense of anxiety. He must have been frightened when he heard the marching orders. It was to lead a military campaign into the promised land. This was going to be a risk to his life, and not only that, his soldiers as well. So it must have been some sense of anxiety where he was frightened, and so it's understandable why at this pivotal moment, he could be afraid or discouraged. But I think also in Joshua, there was this flicker of excitement that God had tapped him on the shoulder to lead the nation of Israel from wandering in the wilderness to their home. Last week, Derry Long preached, and he said to the effect, there is within us a desire to do something great. And Joshua had been called to greatness. And I think when God said, it's time to go, there was a piece of him with all the fear, anxiety, and so on. It's like, I'm ready to do this, and I want to do it. And that's normative when we come to our pivotal moments, isn't it? A mixture of sorrow, anxiety, but also an excitement that the God of the universe is tapping you on the shoulder, that he wants you to fulfill your unique redemptive purpose. So there's a tension in verses 1 and 2, isn't there? Now, if this was a Hollywood movie, what they would do is kind of do, you know, the flashback scene. So here we are in Joshua chapter 1, and so the camera would kind of get blurry, and there would be some weird music, and then you see Joshua kind of looking up, and a little cloud forms, and he remembers back in Numbers chapter 11. That happened about 40 years prior to this. They'd come to where? The Jordan. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. And then Moses decided to send 12 spies into the promised land on a reconnaissance mission to find out what was going on and what was it like. And two of the guys were Joshua and Caleb. So in his dream sequence, he remembers going back, he go into the promised land to scope it out and look at what was going on. And after a time, they came back to the people and they gave their reviews. And there were rave reviews and grave reviews. The rave reviews was this: it is a land flowing with milk and honey. What that means is there's pasture lands for the cows and there's flowers for the bees. It's an agrarian paradise. It's a beautiful place to live. But then they also said, but there are giants in the land. And there's fortified cities, like there's this place called Jericho with these big walls. It's not like they're going to fall down on their own. And so they began to give their report, and they became to a point where 10 of them said, we can't go in. Because they said, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And so the 10's problem is they became afraid and discouraged because they saw themselves as grasshoppers and them as giants, but they didn't see God with them. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, go forth. But the vote was made by the subcommittee on entering the Canaan promised land. And the motion to move forward was voted down 10-2. And as a result of that, an entire nation wandered as nomads in a wilderness till all of them died. So I can imagine, as Joshua was told to lead these people, and these now are the children of that generation, he would look at them with a little suspicion. Are you like your mama and dad? Are you going to chicken out? Are you going to be with me? It's obvious to see that he came to a moment that he could be strong and courageous or afraid and discouraged, and he had reasons to do that. So here's the question. What did God do for Joshua so that he would be strong and courageous? Well, the rest of the text, there's like three things that he did for him to strengthen and encourage him in that very moment. And the first thing he did is in verses 3-6, he told him to believe his promises, believing God's promises. Look at verse 3. God promised he would do certain things. Notice all the wills. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what he's doing is promising Joshua victory in advance. He tells them that to respond to these promises, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. It was promise after promise after promise. You know what the only thing he asked him to do? Be bold and courageous. Be bold and courageous. Rest in God's promises, because God said, I will do this for you. So that's the first thing. Believing God's promises. Second thing is obeying his commandments. He repeats this command. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Now, notice what he does here in verse 8. He tells them to do three things with the law. Keep the book of the law always on your lip. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Talk about the law, think about the law, and obey the law. And then here was the promise. Then you will be prosperous and successful. What does that mean? Now, something comes to our mind when you hear God says, you're going to be prosperous and successful. And it's probably not what came to their mind. In the Hebrew thinking, this is what that idea, prosperous and successful, would mean. Prosperous means living life as God intended, and successful being filled with God's wisdom. Someone who is prosperous and successful is living life as God intended and filled with God's wisdom. So he said, obey my commands. Now, all the commands that he had at that time were these right here. The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament that Moses had just finished writing. But he says, obey all of those and you will be prosperous and successful, because it showed him how to live. The third thing is this. We see resting in his presence, verse 9. God asked Joshua a pointed question. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And that's his pivotal moment. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, can we pull that text back up? Is that too hard? Man, I feel powerful. Now look at the text and see it says, be strong and courageous. And then there's a period. And then there's a space. And then there's a capital D, do. At that moment, Joshua was right between the period and the D in that space. We live between the dot and the D. We live between being strong and courageous and do not be afraid or discouraged. We live life between the dot and the D, don't we? And life between the dot and the D is the pivotal moment where you can either be strong and courageous or afraid and discouraged. And so he comes to this particular moment where he's telling him to rest in his presence. And he says in the rest of it, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, to strengthen and encourage Joshua, God told him to believe his promises, to obey his commandments, and to rest in his presence. Now, when I was a child, I used to struggle with my faith. I grew up in the church my entire life. You know, it's like they brought me home from the hospital and took me to church, you know. Come on, man. Amen. Yeah, I've been there. And so I just grew up in church. And so as a child growing up in the church, one of the things that I kind of struggled with was my faith. You know, like I wasn't strong and courageous. And I remember reading all these stories. I go, you know, if I lived back then and saw what, say, Joshua saw, my faith would be strong and courageous. But I haven't seen those. I mean, think through what he saw. He was like best friends with Moses. He may have heard him go into Pharaoh's court and say, let my people go. And when Pharaoh said no, he saw the plagues fall on the Egyptians and the Israelites escape. He was there for the Passover. He was there when they went to the Red Sea. And then it parted in front of them. And they walked across on dry land. And throughout the night, there was a pillar of fire to lead them. And day, there was a cloud that would lead them. And when they got hungry, there was manna to eat. And God even sent some quail along, which made the vegans mad. He saw the water from the rock. He heard the thunder on the mountain. And I would go, oh, if I could have just seen what Joshua saw, I would be strong and courageous and not afraid and discouraged. When I was a child, I thought like a child. But now that I became a man, I put away childish things. My faith wouldn't have been stronger back in those days. There is no better time to be a follower of God than right now. Because we get to live on the other side of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his teaching and life, his arrest, betrayal, and his death and resurrection. Oh, he had a great revelation, but we have a greater revelation in the person of Jesus Christ. And we get to look back at Jesus in a way that Joshua never did. And there's a way to study the Old Testament where you kind of look at some of these Old Testament figures as foreshadowing someone who is coming that would fill that. And when we follow Jesus, Jesus is the greater Joshua. Joshua was great, but Jesus is greater. And Joshua foreshadows Jesus in that Joshua was called to lead people from wandering in the wilderness to cross over into the promised land. And Jesus, our greater Joshua, came to lead us from being lost and wandering to being found and entering the eternal promised land and entering life with him. See, Joshua was great, but Jesus is a greater Joshua to follow. Joshua's name means Yahweh, Jehovah, saves. And when Mary and Joseph had Jesus, they actually called him Joshua, Yeshua. But we know his name better by the Greek pronunciation, Jesus. They named him after Joshua because he saves. Joshua saves people, Jesus saves people even better. Because he saves us eternally. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save that which is lost. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When Joshua led the people, he risked his life. When Jesus came to give us, he gave his life. That's how much he loves us. Oh, Joshua's great, but Jesus is greater. And we get to look at him. Not only do we have a greater Joshua and Jesus, we have a greater word. I mean, it must have been great, you know, to have these first five books of the Old Testament. Oh, but isn't it greater through progressive revelation to have the completed word of God to guide us? You want to be strong and courageous? Know and obey God's word. Joshua was strong and courageous because he obeyed the first five books of the Bible. We have the whole written account. And when Jesus gave the Great Commission to the 11 disciples that started this whole Jesus movement, one of the things he said, make disciples of everyone. And this way he said, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Here, I believe, is one of the greatest mistakes modern people make, is they don't know and obey the ancient wisdom of the Word of God. This is probably true of you, but I know it's true of me. When I look back at my past history of the mistakes and failures I've made that are so embarrassing, I'm not going to tell you. I disobeyed God's word. If I had only done what the Bible said, I would have avoided a lot of grief and not hurt a lot of people. I wish I'd obeyed it more carefully. And God gives this word to give us guidance. So, well, to be strong and courageous. And not afraid and discouraged. Because you know why you disobey God's word sometimes? Because you're afraid. And then what happens? You're discouraged. This is why I love having this book. It guides my life so that I make fewer mistakes. And it strengthens and encourages me. Be a person of the book. It's there to guide us And he had a great word in the Pentateuch, but we have the greater word in the Bible. And this is one of the things I appreciate. The Bible keeps me from being afraid and discouraged, but also being dumb and destructive. And the less I'm doing that, which is dumb and destructive, the more I'm strengthened and encouraged to do what God's called me to do. It's a loop that reaffirms itself. It strengthens us in our inner person. And so not only that do we have the written word here, but we also know the living word, Jesus. This is what Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 reads. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors, to the prophets at many times and in various ways. That's the Old Testament he's talking about. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who is the exact representation of God. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus once said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the living word who lives out the written word. And we have that. The third thing is this greater presence. God promised Joshua that he'd be with him. But today, as followers of Jesus, we have a greater presence. Back in 1987, after 13 months of pastoral ministry, I resigned. I had failed as a pastor and felt like a failure as a pastor. And I remember going, I can't be one, because it was so horrific. So we were in the White Mountains of Arizona, and we had to figure out what to do. And so what we did is we loaded all of our stuff up in a U-Haul, and Kim got in our Chevy Cavalier with our three beautiful daughters, who were 5, 3, and 1 at that time. And we began to drive to my parents' house in St. Louis to live in their basement. Every man's dream. So they were in the Chevy Cavalier. I was in the U-Haul truck driving along, and we were driving through New Mexico. And I have heard it said that there are many beautiful places in New Mexico, but none of them are on Interstate 40. It is dry. It is desolate. It is barren. And as I was driving the truck, I was afraid and discouraged because I had failure behind me and uncertainty in front of us, and I felt all alone. And as I was driving the truck, all of a sudden, a Bible verse came to mind from Joshua 1:1-9. The verse was this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. And do you know what happened when I was in the truck driving and that verse came to mind? Absolutely nothing. No happy feelings. I didn't feel his presence. I still had failure behind me, uncertainty in front of me, and I was in a wilderness place. I felt absolutely, positively nothing. Heaven did not come down and glory did not fill my soul at that moment. The cab of the U-Haul didn't light up with a bright light. I was alone and forsaken. That's what I felt. And as I was in that feeling, this is the thought that came to mind. Jim, God's word is true whether you feel it or not. And I was right. It's not uncommon to go through moments where you feel forsaken. But we follow a Savior who was forsaken so that we would never be forsaken and we could always have his presence. He was there. I just needed some dry times to deepen my roots and walk in faith. And here's the beauty. It's 37 years since that time. I can say with the utmost confidence, God has never forsaken me. And he has always been with me. And he has always provided for our needs. And he has been so good. Because he's not only just with us, it gets better. He's in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know who you are, child of God? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit who set up residence within you. God is not just with us. He is in us in your dark moments. What do we do with that? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and discouraged, because God is with you. God is with you, child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, he's around you, but not in you. And you need to invite him in. And then you'll have him in you as well. So to strengthen and encourage him, we came to that pivotal moment where God was with him in the very moment. And so one of the things that Jesus said in the Great Commission, he said, after telling them to go and make disciples of all nations, he said to them, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. And so while God promised to be with Joshua for the believer, God is in us. And the last thing we see is we have a greater leader. Joshua was a great leader. Moses was a great leader. Joshua was mentored by a great leader. But it's far greater to follow the greater leader, Jesus. He started this whole Jesus movement when he came up to some Galilee fishermen and he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Do you remember in the story we just looked at? It all started with God spoke to Joshua. And you following Jesus always starts with Jesus pursuing you first. And one of the things that's common for him to do is to speak to you in your conscience or through the word or through someone else that he wants you to follow him. And one of the best things you can do is be a follower of Jesus. I love being a part of Journey. And I'm energized what our purpose is all about. And our purpose is this: together, we're leading people to become all-in followers of Jesus. And there's a pivotal moment in your life where the trajectory and the direction of life changes when you decide to be a follower of Jesus or not. And to be a follower of Jesus requires courage and strength and overcoming your fear and discouragement. And I encourage you to be an all-in follower of Jesus, who then in turn help other people to become all-in followers of Jesus. You come to this pivotal moment in your life where you can be afraid and discouraged. And the way that God strengthens us is by believing his promises, obeying his commandments, and resting in his presence. And when we're aware of that, we can move forward in strength and courage rather than pulling back and being afraid and discouraged. Now, imagine for a moment, Journey Church, what if all of us were characterized by this holy boldness and courage? Can you imagine what God could do in Bozeman and in Montana through a group this large that is filled with Holy Spirit boldness and courage? You know, what I think maybe could happen is that in the lives of people, some of those dry bones of fear and doubt could come to life and be courageous. So, church, I think if we listen carefully, we could hear dry bones rattling. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who are at that pivotal moment in their life that they would not be consumed by fear, but they'd be strengthened in their person to pursue you with all their heart. Father, I pray for those who are in the mix of anxiety and discouragement. They're in between the dot and the D, that you would strengthen them in this moment, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. And if there's a person here who's not a follower of your son, Jesus, may they hear your voice calling them, and may they have the courage to say yes to you, become a follower of you. We pray this in the powerful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.